It's a sad fact of life that we all get older. And it's not just wrinkles and grey hair. There are many diseases of old age creeping up on us, from dementia and arthritis to cancer and heart disease. Cheery stuff. At the UCL Institute of Healthy Ageing, researchers are investigating the genetics of ageing and how understanding the fundamental biological changes that happen as we age could help us live longer, healthier lives. I spoke to David Gems, Assistant Director of the Institute and Professor of Biogerontology, and started by asking him what we mean by ageing.
The word ageing is a very slippery term that causes a lot of confusion because it means multiple things. I mean, ageing can mean just that you gain more years, you know, just in that sense, anything, everything ages, everything grows older in the calendar time, you know. Aging can also mean, in a broad sense, any kind of change that happens over time. So, I mean, here's my coffee, and you could say that as my coffee gets cold over time, that's an age change, you know. And so in people, age changes can include all sorts of things. I mean, that can include maturational changes, changes in temperament, you know, and all sorts of things. But the aging that I'm interested in is the deteriorative aspect of aging, which biologists sometimes call senescence, to try to be clear about it. So the interest here is really in the biology of senescence. Senescence is something which is really not understood in terms of its biology.
This is the kind of the gradual conking out of our cells.
People working on aging, on the biology of aging, still argue about how to even define aging. You know, there's different ways of defining it. I mean, I would say the thing which is really characteristic about aging, that is senescence, is the development of pathology, and pathologies that come from within. They're not caused by external things like germs or something. They're actually coming from within your own body. So there's some sort of process which gives rise to a load of pathologies. Those pathologies are, you know, in the developed world, really the main root cause of death.
So these are things like dementia, heart disease, all these kind of problems.
Yeah, I mean, numerically, the overwhelming cause of disease in the developed world is aging itself. And I mean, there are a lot of aspects of aging people don't really think of as aging, but they are. So, for example, most cancer is actually develops as part of the aging process. And, you know, dementia, as you mentioned, a lot of type 2 diabetes tends to get worse with age. Yeah, dementias like Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's and others, you know. I mean, it's bewildering how many pathologies there are. It's terrible, really.
And depressing.
Yeah, right. I mean, that I guess that's the human condition.
So what do we know in terms of, say, human bodies or other animal bodies? What's going on at a cellular or a genetic level as cells or organisms age?
So, you know, as a biogerontologist working on the biology of aging, I mean, I can say with some authority that, you know, we really don't know. And it's actually one of the things which is very exciting about working on biology of aging. It's the main cause of disease in the world.
And yet, no one knows anything.
It's actually not known. Well, there's lots of ideas. And the state of play at the moment is there's a lot of research at the moment on the fundamentals of aging. But there isn't really an agreement about what sort of process aging is. So I think traditionally the most of the ideas about aging over the last 50 years have been based around the idea of aging as a kind of a wear and tear type process. So it's a bit like machines that wear out.
Your parts get a bit rusty, everything stops working quite as well.
Yeah, rusty is exactly, puts a finger on it, because, you know, rust is metal oxidation. And one of the ideas is that, you know, we're living in this high oxygen atmosphere, and the oxygen, you know, burns. So you have a sort of a process of oxidation in living systems, just like you do in mechanical systems. But I think in the last 5 years or so, this idea, I mean, there are many different theories kind of based around damage of one kind or another causing aging and how it happens, you know, including telomere shortening, you know, chromosome shortening. It's a kind of a damage theory.
Your chromosomes just getting shorter and shorter, and then they can't do anything else.
That's right, then the cells kick out of the cell cycle. I think at the moment, I really think there's been a kind of a watershed for this sort of aging damage paradigm where people are starting to wonder whether it's really true. And there are some alternative theories that are appearing. So it's a very exciting period scientifically in terms of, you know, paradigm shifts and, and so on, I think.
So if you say there's lots of different theories, so what one is your favourite one, perhaps? And what are you trying to do in your lab to understand this process a bit more?
So the main approach that my lab and quite a few others have been taking to try to figure out ageing is to look at the genes that control ageing. So you don't really need to do any science to know that ageing is controlled by genes, because different animal species have different lifespans. That is, their maximum lifespan. So if you take, for example, humans and our closest relative, the common chimp, our maximum lifespan is about double that of the common chimp. So we've evolved recently a much longer lifespan. It just shows how genes control aging. So what a lot of scientists are doing is using very short-lived animals, like fruit flies, like these nematode worms, which is what I work on. They're called, the proper name is Caenorhabditis elegans. And they're great to study because their lifespans are very short. So C. elegans only lives about 2 or 3 weeks. So you can look at the genetics of aging in C. elegans. You can look for mutants, for strains of worm where they've changed genetic changes, which have different rates of aging, either that age more quickly or age more slowly. They're in a way the more interesting ones because they live longer.
So I guess in a worm, if you're getting one to live maybe a week longer, that's a really significant increase on a worm's lifespan.
Well, yes, it is. I mean, for example, there's a group in Arkansas who are currently the record holders for sort of extending lifespan in worms.
It's competition.
Yeah, no, it's true. I feel strongly about this because I had the longest lived worm strain at one point. It was a sevenfold increase in lifespan. And these guys in Arkansas, they've got a tenfold increase now in lifespan. But it's only a couple of months of life, extra life. And, you know, if you translate that to a human being, it's hard to know what that means. I mean, that could mean
700 years?
Is it 1,000 years or is it an extra 4 months? You know, it's actually hard to know how to translate it. The bottom line, though, is that what this tells you is that aging is actually plastic. And that's so important. I think of almost all the discoveries that have come out of this lifespan genetics, that basic observation that aging is plastic, it's not fixed, it is something that is alterable, is very, very profound, and has shaped a lot of thinking in the field and ideas about what the field can do. So in terms of what we learn from that, I mean, what we hope was that we find a gene that controls aging, and then we find out what that gene actually does, what protein it makes, and what's the kind of biochemical cellular process that gene is affecting. And that should lead us to aging. You know, what aging is.
How long would you like to live for?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I do find that one thing about working in this field is that I tend to always want to not think about the fantasy aspects, but think about the realities. But I mean, if I had a choice, I guess I would like to be able to live long enough so that I could choose when to end my own life, you know. And I don't know how long I would want to live. I think... probably a lot would depend on how capable I was of reinventing myself and changing. I mean, it's unanswerable. Who knows?
That was Professor David Gems from UCL.